Let's pray to God. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you that we can be here tonight. We thank you that you're the God that created everything. Thank you that on this day we are reminded of when you came down to earth, this day when you died for us and when you rose again. We think of what you secured with that. You secured the way that we can be reconciled with you. You took the punishment for our sins, and we thank you for that. As we look through your scriptures today, we ask that you'd be with us and that you would open your word to us and that we might understand what it is that you would have us see. In Jesus' name, amen. So tonight we're reading from John chapter 11. And we pick up in this book of John, one of Jesus' closest friends, a guy named Lazarus, has just recently died. He was Mary and Martha's brother. And they had asked for Jesus to come and told him that Lazarus was sick. They said, oh, come on, Jesus, come along. We know that you'll be able to heal him. And Jesus had actually stayed there and waited two more days upon hearing the news. Now, Lazarus had then passed away, but he made it clear that he wanted to show his glory by raising Lazarus from the dead. So we pick up the story when Jesus finally arrives and Lazarus has been dead for about 4 days. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. So this is the last night in our series about the things that Jesus brings. Kirk mentioned just before. It's by no means been an exhaustive list. The jet lag's going to make all my words all mixed up, but hopefully we'll get there. So it's by no means been an exhaustive list, but a brief summary of just some of the things that Jesus brought with him when he came. We talked about how Jesus gives us purpose in life, how he brings joy, how he brings hope, compassion and forgiveness, how he brings power to change. He brings real community and real satisfaction. Last week we saw how he brings justice. We're going to wrap up this series tonight with how he brings life after death. So tonight is really the culmination of this series. We've seen all these great things that Jesus brings, and tonight we're going to talk about the reason that Jesus came. These other things are great, but this is the reason that Jesus came. Tonight we'll be talking about how Jesus brings life after death. How Jesus' sacrifice meant that we can live forever. So we're going to start by looking at verse 23 and we're going to unpack it from there. As always, if you have some questions, save them up and I will answer them at the end. So please do. If I say something you think, I don't understand that, or you have a question about that, just think about it at the end and we can all benefit, because probably everyone else is thinking the same thing. So let's have a look at verse 23. We just read some of this, but I'll read it again. So Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? So this resurrection from the dead, what is it all about? Jesus said that even though he may die, he shall live. It's very paradoxical here. What is he actually talking about? Let's start with the death part. Is death natural? Should we die? Is this normal? This is a fundamental thing for us to look at right at the beginning here. Those that would believe that there is no God would believe that death is completely natural, that it's something that we can't evolve, something that we can't avoid. That's how we evolved. That in order for things to adapt and evolve, there must be death, survival of the fittest, and so forth. But ask yourself, does it seem natural that we grow up, we grow more knowledgeable, we start to gain wisdom, and then we start deteriorating? Our bodies start to give way, our minds start to give way, our cells degrade, our vision fades, and everything that we've learned is just wasted. All becomes useless as we turn into nothing. It makes life rather meaningless, I'm sure you can agree. We can have moments during this life that are full of meaning, but there is no goal, there is no direction. We're not heading anywhere, just heading to destruction. And that's for people that don't believe in a God. Now, we talked previously, a couple of weeks ago, about how Jesus actually brings us purpose, both in life and in the life to come. And so we talked more about that point then, so I'm not going to go into too much about that tonight. And whilst we would certainly agree that death is unavoidable, we certainly don't think it's natural. It is not the way our bodies and minds were designed to be. See, when God first created Adam and Eve, he made them to live forever in the garden. Now, these bodies were originally designed to live forever. God told Adam that he could eat of any tree in the garden except of one, and that if he did not, he would surely die. Now, he wouldn't have known what death is back then, but he learned pretty quickly when he and his wife ate of the fruit that they were told not to. And this was when death was introduced, okay? It wasn't there from the beginning. And even then, it took a couple of lifespans, for a couple of lifetimes for those lifespans to actually shorten to what they are today. Right? Some of the early people in the Bible lived to over 900 years old. Imagine the wisdom and knowledge that was accumulated in that lifetime. So death wasn't there from the beginning. Death was introduced in the world by Adam and Eve disobeying God. Now we continue their tradition by disobeying God ourselves. See, death was a consequence of that disobeying, was a consequence of that sin. Now that sin had to be paid for, which is where the death part came in. Death was the punishment for ours and Adam and Eve's sin. So due to our early parents' sin and ours, death is a reality today, but it's certainly not how it was supposed to be. So death might not be natural, but today particularly, it does seem inevitable, right? Sounds pretty final. A reminder, it's not how God had originally designed us. However, God didn't leave Adam and Eve outside the garden without any hope. Right then, straight away, he promised that there would be a seed that would bruise Satan's head, or a child would come to overthrow Satan. That was how he would conquer death. Throughout the Old Testament, God talked about his plan to send a Messiah, to send a Savior who would stop the death. Now, the Jews knew about this. They had read the scriptures, so they knew a Messiah was coming. They knew that someone would come to stop the death. The book of Daniel talks about this. And if you were there this morning, you saw this passage as well. Those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. So this is what Martha was talking about when she said, well, I know he will be resurrected on the last day. So she knew that. She knew that death was not meant to be permanent. All right? So she understood that. It's not permanent for anyone. All right? This is one thing we don't think about a lot, but everyone will actually be raised from the dead. But it will be either to everlasting life or some to shame and everlasting contempt. So indeed, Jesus does bring life after death, but how do we make sure it's the good life, the life everlasting with our God, and not the life that is shame and everlasting contempt? Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? It seems simple, really. Believe in Jesus, right? And the question was, how do we have that good everlasting life? And you know what? It is actually that simple. It's so simple that many ignore it, that many throw it away because it really is that simple. Even his friends didn't quite understand what Jesus' role was here. They said, if only you'd been here 4 days ago, you could have saved him. You could have stopped him from dying. They didn't fully understand what he meant when he said he could raise the dead, that he will raise the dead, and by believing in him, they could have everlasting life with Jesus. Jesus talks about two roles here. He is the resurrection. He's able to rise from the dead. He will be the judge over all that he raises from the dead. Those who believe in Jesus and those who don't. All will stand before Jesus and be put to trial. The second thing he says, though, is that he is the life. He is the one who has made a way so that those who believe in him can have everlasting life with him. Those who don't believe will be sentenced to that everlasting contempt that we just read about, or what the Bible calls in other areas hell. So we know that all will be resurrected on the last day for judgment, but to have real life, to have a life with God, we must believe in Jesus. Because whoever believes in Jesus will ultimately never die. They will have life, eternal life in heaven, even though they will likely die a physical death here, although Jesus could come back first to do the judging. So Jesus wanted to make it clear that if you believe in him, if you truly believe in what Jesus did on a Sunday morning 2,000 years ago, that you can have everlasting life. If you believe that he rose from the dead, conquering death, satisfying that punishment that our sin deserved, the death that was due for our sin and Adam and Eve's sin, then you can have a good, everlasting, eternal life with him. Now, if that all sounds a little wacky, you're on the right track. All right? It really is that simple. Christians really do believe that we will live forever. We don't believe that this world is all there is. We believe that there is purpose, that there is a hope, because Jesus has conquered death. He rose Lazarus from the dead, and he himself rose from the dead. Now, one thing, when Lazarus rose from the dead, he would have died again. It wasn't a permanent resurrection, right? But when Jesus rose from the dead, it was final. He is alive to this very day in heaven waiting, preparing heaven for us. And if you made it this morning, you heard about the evidences for that resurrection. I'm not going to go into that tonight. And if you are interested in some of those things about how can we know that Jesus did actually rise from the dead, come and chat to me or Kirk or someone else afterwards and we can talk about some of those things. But I want to assure you that Jesus is alive to this very day in heaven, waiting, preparing heaven for us. So we may die in the coming years, and likely we will die before Jesus comes again. But Jesus brings life after death. This life is not all there is. Death is not natural, but Jesus has conquered sin and death, and if you believe in him, you too can have that everlasting life with your Creator. Now, Jesus then asked a question. Do you believe this? So let me ask you, do you believe this? It might sound a bit different to what you've heard growing up believing or understanding about God, but it actually makes sense. God created us and he wants us to be with him. He has made a way so that we can live with him forever. When you look around and when you see the birds and the trees and the human eye, do you really think that it just spontaneously evolved out of a primordial gloop? Personally, I don't have enough faith to believe in something like that. I choose to believe in what I think is super clear, that we have a God that created all of this around us, who created us and who has sent his son Jesus to make a way so that we can be with our God forever. Let's have a look at how Martha responded. She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." Martha also believed. She believed that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God, who was promised, that he was the one who would conquer death and allow her to be reconciled with God. So this Easter, take an opportunity to think about what life after death means. If you aren't a Christian and you have questions, ask them. God is real and he can answer your questions. If this stuff is real that we talk about, there are answers to your questions. Don't be afraid of asking them. If you are a Christian, be refreshed. Be reminded that Jesus rose from the dead. He has defeated death and sin. And when he raises all of us up on the last day, well, raises everyone, but when he raises all of us up and we stand there before that trial, that we will be covered by what Jesus has done. You will be right with God and you'll be able to look forward to that eternity with your Creator. So to finish up, I challenge you to think about Martha's response. If you want to spend eternity with your Creator and not an eternity of contempt and shame, make sure you can firmly say, like Martha did, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Son of God."